So we're here with John Vincent from U.S. News & World Report, senior editor of Vehicle Testing.
Correct.
Wow. This is a first for us. We've never interviewed anyone from like outside media organization that is like making an impact on automotive, the future of automotive vehicles and what happens. Thanks for joining us.
And we talk to those customers that are in the market for a car today.
See, that is we hear some of the cars revving in the back right now.
Yep.
It might be the McLaren. So you constantly get a flow of information from people who are saying, I'm ready to buy a car and here's what I'm looking for, right?
Exactly.
So tell us how that information flows in and kind of what it's sounding like lately. Like, what are the top concerns?
So, you know, we kind of go by the mantra that you can never get a good deal on a car unless you're getting a good car. So we want to help people find a good car that will give them years and years of trouble-free, low-cost service. You know, that's what car buyers really want. They might want certain features today. They might want certain performance. But in the end, they just want something reliable that's going to get them to work and play every day.
Right. That's the table stakes. Like, if you don't have that, then what are you even doing?
Exactly.
And your organization spends a lot of time to help consumers make informed decisions across a lot of areas, right? Not just
automotive. A lot of time and research.
And so we just had an award ceremony.
We did.
Where you all passed out some awards. Tell us about the awards and who's winning what.
These are our Best Cars for the Money Awards. We look at a couple of things. We look at quality and we look at reliability and total cost of ownership over the first 5 years.
I mean, with all the conversation about affordability, you would think this award probably has more weight in this day and age than it does in times when affordability isn't such a top concern.
Yes, and these don't necessarily, you know, reward the lowest cost vehicles in the market. It might be a higher cost vehicle, but its total cost of ownership over the first 5 years is lower.
Which I'm really surprised that this isn't a more pressing metric that people pay attention to, because there's a lot of conversations over, you know, MSRP. Are you paying above or below that? Or now that we know with the CARS rule that has come out, an offer price, what is the price that's out the door price? But you're looking beyond that, and total cost of ownership is the actual amount of money that will be flowing from your bank account to own this vehicle.
Exactly. I mean, we're a research-based media outlet. We just don't sit in the back and throw a dart at a dartboard to try and figure out, you know, what's the most affordable. We look at hard numbers and figure out what's the best car for consumers.
Okay, so tell us who's winning what.
Okay, let's look at compact cars. We had 11 awards this year, three manufacturers.
Only three manufacturers.
Three manufacturers with 11 awards.
So I saw one, so I'm not going to try to guess, but I only saw the one.
Well, let's start with Honda.
Yes.
Honda wins awards for the Civic, which, you know, tough category, compact car.
I mean, absolutely. You know, I mean, Civic's legendary, though.
Civic's legendary, but nobody's ever gotten in trouble with their father for buying a Corolla. So
it's very funny.
You know, we have the Civic. We have the midsize car, Accord. Accord's been out for, you know, 40 some years.
Mm-hmm.
And the
My
new
first
generation,
car was an Accord.
Same here.
87 Accord.
Mine was an 83.
There you go.
But, you know, the new generation is better than them all.
And they're bigger. It's like twice the size of the one I had.
Yeah,
I think.
They're bigger. They're more powerful,
smooth,
more refined.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're the new Accord.
And in a
fantastic
category, too, where they're just not as much competition anymore. Everyone bailed on sedans a few years ago, right? And the Honda Accord, the Civic.
I wouldn't say there's not as much competition.
Okay.
Because the customers are still out there. There aren't as many of them. Not as many customers chasing fewer cars. So within the category,
it's very
there's still a lot of competition.
Okay, that's a good point.
I mean, Accord, Camry.
Corolla.
Corolla's in the sub or in the smaller category.
Okay.
But, you know, the Subaru. Subaru still has a midsize car.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about the Civic talked
Accord,
about the Accord, Honda and Honda.
Odyssey. Honda.
Ooh.
Odyssey. Four years in a row for
in
that.
In the minivan segment.
In the minivan segment.
Wow.
Another really competitive segment.
Absolutely. The Sienna and the Odyssey go
Sienna,
nose
Odyssey,
to nose. You have the Kia
Carnival
that's really picked up.
And Pacifica. And Pacifica Hybrid.
I would have thought that the Kia Carnival maybe would have done a little bit better because of the price point in the beginning. But this is telling us what? When we zoom out, we look at best cost for the money and overall cost.
Exactly.
The Carnival's going to cost.
Carnival's going to cost a little more.
Wow.
Even with its fantastic warranty. It's 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. the numbers show that the Odyssey is still...
What types of things? So warranty repairs, maintenance repairs, or just maintenance costs, fuel efficiency, there's all that?
Exactly. Total cost of ownership, insurance.
Okay, so Honda's cleaning up so far.
Honda's doing really well. So those are the four Hondas, Civic, Accord. Oh, we missed the one. Passport.
Oh.
Passport.
So the Passport one in the midsize SUV segment?
SUV.
Two-row SUV.
Two-row SUV.
Okay.
Wow. The Passport's, you know, it's been out there for a while, but it continues to just truck along.
It does. The new designs, too, actually have been catching my eye more. They just look a little tougher. Honda got away from a tough-looking vehicle.
They did.
Right? The Honda Pilot was, like, one of the last, like, boxy SUVs, and then they went ahead and made it look like a minivan, and now it's coming back.
Yeah, the Pilot was the minivan of SUVs. Now,
but
it's
no one
nuts.
Wanted to say it was that, and then it became that, and everyone was like, "I don't want a minivan."
Yeah, so they're giving them a tougher look, and the Passports, the Trail Sport, the tough looking Trail Sport, actually has some features on it that make it more capable.
Yeah, for
better tires, like,
for
some
real,
skid
for
plating,
real. Not just on the badging.
Exactly.
Okay, so who else? We got Honda.
So that's Honda. Let's go to Hyundai. Hyundai always does well in these awards. Mm-hmm. Tucson in the small SUV category.
Makes sense. See, that one makes sense. Not surprised whatsoever.
It's a fantastic car. Easy to buy, easy to own. Elantra Hybrid. People kind of forget.
On there. Well, is that the hybrid category? Is that what that is?
That is the hybrid car category.
Wow, the Elantra. I never would have picked the Elantra.
Well, you know, whenever everything's hybrid, they think Prius.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Prius is an expensive car. Elantra is not as an expensive car.
Right, and it apparently holds up.
It holds up.
It doesn't cost a lot after you buy it.
It's got that 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
So we got Hyundai has the Elantra.
Elantra, Sportage, and in the electric SUV category, IONIQ 5.
That's an SUV?
On paper, it's an SUV.
Okay. That's an interesting one.
I know.
Because it looks like a VW, it looks like a hatchback.
I don't think.
So what makes it an SUV on paper?
Shape, cargo capacity, all-wheel drive.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, they snuck that one in, didn't they?
They did.
It's a cool car. And when I've seen them on the road a lot, actually, I feel like. So it makes sense that people are buying them. And, it's the SUV category. Yeah, I don't think anybody else has a chance of categorizing that as an SUV now.
It's not the most affordable one out there, especially since it's not, it doesn't comply with the federal EV tax credit right now.
Is that slated to change? Are they changing the battery manufacturing so that it
They're moving more of it onshore. So it will change eventually. The Kia EV9, the new three-row SUV from Kia. Mm-hmm. Initially manufactured in Korea, its production moves to America later this year.
So the ones that are made in America will be applicable for the credit.
The credit,
man. Yeah. So a lot of people are going to wait for that because that's going to cause a little bit of problem with residual payment. Because if you get one now, and then
but
you get
if you
one
buy
in a few
one
months,
now,
yeah.
If you look at their deals page, they have incentives on them because they're trying to smooth out that sales.
They're going
to
say, "We'll give you more money off now.
We'll give you more money off now, and you know that money will go away at the end of the year."
That'll be interesting. I like that. I wonder, do you know if they have one here at the show?
I do not know that.
I'm going to find that out because that's one that I've always loved Kias, and I've owned many Kias over the years. And I just feel like with Kia and Hyundai, but Kia, because I've owned them, you get a lot for your money.
Yep.
And I've always been happy. So
I'm lucky enough to be a North American Car and Truck of the Year juror.
Okay.
And so
you get to drive everything.
I've spent a bunch of time in the EV9 already.
What do you think?
It's fantastic. It's a Telluride that's electric with better interior packaging.
Oh, very nice. Well, now I really can't wait to see them because my last vehicle, I'm in a Land Cruiser now, but my last vehicle that I purchased or I leased was a Telluride. Like when it first came out, I loved it. I loved it.
And that bridges us right over to Kia, who won four of our awards.
There you go. What'd they win for?
Let's start with the Soul.
I mean, the Soul has been, just a total value package from when it first came out.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the SUV that most of America really needs.
Yeah.
Because it has the space.
I still don't think of it as an SUV.
I know.
But it does have a ton of space in it.
It's got a ton of space.
I fit so much stuff in my Kia Soul when I had it.
It handles well in parking lots.
It actually did really well in the snow.
Yep.
I live in the Northeast. I live in Syracuse, New York, with snow tires and their front-wheel drive traction control. That thing did really well.
Yeah. Easy to own. Just, it's a great little car.
That makes sense. All right, what else?
And affordable. Super affordable. Sportage. and Sportage Hybrid.
Okay.
And Sportage Plug-in Hybrid electric vehicle.
Oh, in two different categories.
In two different categories.
Wow. I know that the hybrid, the plug-in hybrid, they seem to be significantly more expensive.
But they get the federal tax credit if it's built in the right place. Down.
Interesting.
And if it doesn't get the federal tax credit, it can get state, local, and utility incentives.
You know, and the Sportage is one of those vehicles where the non-hybrid version, the interior, just doesn't look nearly as cool because the dual screen layout that they had when the hybrid came out, the tech in the car is better too.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that...
I agree.
Yeah, so it makes sense that that's just a little... Even though the drivetrain's different, but it's like, no, it's drivetrain plus tech. You feel like you're in something special.
Yep. And that's a tough category. It competes with the CR-V, CR-V Tons. Hybrid.
Yeah.
And
was that a close race?
It was.
Yeah. How close? Yeah.
I can't say.
Okay. Okay. And finally, last but not least.
No, I literally can't say. I haven't seen the numbers.
Oh.
what's our last one? Sorry, I have a cheat sheet here.
Last Kia.
Telluride. Of course.
No surprise.
Yep.
No surprise.
It could have a trophy case of its own.
Absolutely.
That car has won so many awards and deserved every single
Absolutely.
One of them.
I can say that. I mean, the Telluride was an amazing, amazing vehicle, which is, I think, why a lot of people would consider an EV9 because it is so similar to the Telluride, a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
I do wish the range was a little better. That's
we wish
thing
the range was a little
on
better.
Everything. I know, but to be sub 300 in a large vehicle feels... Because you think, from my perspective... When, you know, and I look at the way I drive my vehicle and it wouldn't matter because
right.
I go mostly from home to the office, have a charger at both places, right? Or I could charge at both places and like, you know, not a factor, but there's something about having a family vehicle with a shorter range that I think builds a little more anxiety in the consumer's mindset when they're thinking my children are going to be in this car.
Well, remember, we're still in the Model T era of EVs.
Yes, yes.
So this is going to get better. But it also goes back to, you know, it's the Jeep Wrangler thing. People buy Jeep Wranglers not because they go off-road, but because they think they might want to go off-road someday.
Right. Right.
Well, people want
to afford a river.
Yeah, people want 300-mile-plus EVs, not because they need a 300-mile-plus EV,
but they might want it
someday.
That's a great comparison. Well, we'll take that. John, thank you so much for the
work
that you do and for spending a little time with us
today.
Thanks
for the opportunity.